Probably the most well-known Isser relating to Yom Kippur is the Isser to eat and drink on Yom Kippur. We know there are Chamesh Inuyim on Yom Kippur. There are five things that you're not allowed to do. When they have, it always amuses me when little children come home from school, they say there are five things they have to teach them. There are Chamesh Inuyim. So what do they say? You're not allowed to wear leather shoes. You're not allowed to bathe. You're not allowed to anoint yourself with like creams and stuff. You're not allowed to eat. And you're not allowed to drink. That's what they say. That's eating and drinking is really one. There's an Isser Tashma Shamita, but you can't tell a 5-year old that there's an Isser of Tashma Shamita. So they say there are 5 Inuyim and the eating and drinking. So anyway, so eating and drinking, these are, this is probably, even a Jew who's very distant from Judaism knows that eating on Yom Kippur is about as bad as it gets. There is a fascinating chakira in the Achronim, in the Chaschinuch, in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel discusses. Is it, what's the Isser? Is the Isser Hana'as Goron or Hana'as Me'ayim? Is it an Isser of stomach pleasure or throat pleasure? Meaning, is it the tasting of the food or is it the nourishment of the food? Nafkamina would be if food remains stuck between your teeth, so your stomach never sees the food, but you do enjoy the food. Or you eat a chatzishir, then spit it out, and then eat another chatzishir. So your stomach only got a chatzishir's worth, but your mouth might have gotten more than a chatzishir's worth. Or if it never touches your throat, let's say, meaning you took some sort of food supplement that comes in pill form or whatever that makes you not hungry on Yom Kippur. Feeding tubes, Rav Sternbach discusses in Tshuvas VeHanhagos and Chelek Beis. Is Kedei Achilas Pras measured by digestion or is it measured by swallowing? All these are nafkaminas, but Lamaisa, that's not really, there are nafkaminas, but they're not normal nafkaminas. I mean, those are not the cases that come up on a regular basis where we need to figure out what the Isser is. One of the more common issues is what about things that are not really edible? The Mishnah Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Aleph, tells us, the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph and Maseches Yuma says that achal ochlin she'enon ru'uyin la'achila. If a person eats something that's not really edible, or shasa mashkin she'enon ru'uyin l'shtia, a person drinks something that's not really edible, pater, then the person is going to be pater. That's what the Mishnah says. The Gemara says this Mishnah implies that I skipped the words in the Mishnah. It says you drink something that's not ru'uyin l'shtia, v'shasa tzir o murias, and you drink tzir or murias, some type of brine, then you're going to be pater. So says the Gemara, the implication of this Mishnah is that you're chayiv for chometz if you drink vinegar, which is the shita of Rebbe. The Gemara associates that with the shita of Rebbe. And Rav Gidel paskin against Rebbe and allows drinking vinegar, but people used to abuse the leniency, the Gemara says, and they would drink too much of it, and they would dilute it, and they would still drink it, because it was. They said, oh, it's mutter to have vinegar. It's like a couple of years ago, Rav Schechter told people that they were allowed to use Listerine strips on a fast day. There's nothing wrong with using Listerine strips. And someone said, yeah, but there are people sitting there in Yom Kippur just popping them one after the other. They're just like eating packages of Listerine strips. So that's not to be, if you reminded me of that Gemara, right, that something that's not Roi L'Achila, that was his whole head to that. It's not Roi L'Achila, but if a person's going to dilute it and going to eat it and going to have large amounts of it, so then they're showing that it is Roi L'Achila. So that's not a good thing if people abuse such a leniency. The Rambam paskins in Shvisa Zasar in Perek Beis Halacha and Vav Achal Ochlim Shein Ruin L'Machal Adam Kigon Asav Mamarim. If a person eats like bitter herbs or Srafim Avushno Shashasa Mashkin Sheinon Ruin L'Shtia, or a person drinks something that's not really right to drink, Kigon Tzir or Murios V'Chometz Chai or raw vinegar, even if he's Achal V'Shasa Me'an Harbe, he's Pata from Kares. Even if he didn't drink a lot of it, Pata from Kares, but you get Makas Mardus. If a person drinks diluted vinegar, then he's going to be chayiv. Then that's normal drinking. So Beis Yosef asks, wait a second. If the Rambam passes like Rav Gidol, he should have said that even large quantities are also the same way that he forbids diluting it. But what does he say? He says you can't dilute it, but he doesn't talk about large quantities being aser. So the Gra says that we paskin like the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, that you're not allowed to drink a lot of it. That must be, we assume like Rabbeinu Yeruchim, that drinking a lot of something, even if it's generally not good, just having a lot of it may be problematic itself. What's the svara to say that something that's not edible is going to be problematic anyway? So the Shagas Aryeh in Siman Ayin Vav explains that the heter of shelo kederech achila, eating something in an unusual fashion, not normal way, doesn't apply to the Isra of eating in Yom Kippur. Because the Isra of eating in Yom Kippur is not a din of an Isra Achila. It never says anywhere you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah doesn't say you can't eat. What does the Torah say? What's the lashon of the Torah? You know? The Torah doesn't say you can't eat. The Torah says you need to do inui. Inui means you need to afflict yourself. So there needs to be a sense of affliction in Yom Kippur. It's not a din in Achila. That's why the Gra doesn't allow drinking a lot, because when you drink a lot, you're well saturated, you're well hydrated, and therefore, even though it was achieved in an unnatural way by drinking something that's not normal to drink, but at the end of the day, you're not suffering. A person is supposed to feel a lack of food and a lack of drink. So if a person is taking in liquids, it may not be a shtia per se when he's drinking. If a person is eating something that's not good, that's not edible, it may not be an achila, but there is no iser achila on Yom Kippur. That would be the shita of the Gra. The Achron debate, if a person has to eat on Yom Kippur, let's say, should they continue to do inoy the rest of the day? Because at least, maybe it depends on this issue, because if it's an iser achila, then each morsel of food is a new iser. But if it's din inoy, it could be that you're not getting inoy anyway. Once you ate, you're not having an inoy. May erev ad erev, the mitzvah of inoy is to go from night to night. So it could be that it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So according to this opinion, an IV would be allowed.
It probably would be anyway, because it's not even ingested through the normal means. Meaning, let's say, you know, you drink a lot before, or you take some sort of magic pill beforehand, that it's a slow release capsule or something like that. That's definitely mutter. I mean, there's nothing, even though there's a mitzvah of inoy, because inoy is defined as an inoy that comes about from lack of eating. But what we're saying over here is that you're right. I mean, svara, it should be that an IV wouldn't be allowed, but I have a hard time saying.
Some extent has to be like through the mouth or something.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Mishnah, folks can talk about, you know, a lot of times I get shilas of pregnant women fasting and nursing women fasting on Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur. So one of the guys in my shul is a doctor, said, I'm just going to put my wife on an IV, and then she won't have to worry about it. She won't have to think about it. She won't have to, it's no big deal. Just stick an IV in her, and she'll be fine. The halacha is you don't have to do that. Meaning, you're allowed to decide whether eating can be done or cannot be done without cheshbening for an IV. You don't have to go on an IV in order to avoid. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. You can. There's no iser of attaching an IV to yourself, and if that's what will calm a person down, that would be fine. The Binyan Sion writes in the Tshuva that inoy by definition has to be a full 24 hours. So he says if a person eats in the middle of Yom Kippur because they have to, then they're not going to get inoy anyway. So there's no further iser to eat because it's not an iser achila, which is a wild chiddush when you view the Yisr in this way. The Rashban Kiddushin says explicitly not that way. The Rashban Kiddushin of Chafal says that if you ate on Yom Kippur, it's still an Yisr. Every Achila that you do is an Yisr Achila. And the Mishnah in Yuma, Perichas, Mishnah really sounds a lot more like the Rashba, because the Mishnah says if a woman is desperately in need of food, right, a pregnant woman or whatever is desperately in need of food, so you give her what to eat, ad shetashuv nafsha. Ad shetashuv nafsha means until she's back to herself, until she's calm again, until she's okay again. Sounds like, okay, and once she's okay again, stop! You don't eat anymore. So it sounds like, not like the Binyan Sion says, that it would still be a continued fulfillment of inui, even though you happen to have eaten in between. That's all in the Shita Sagra. The Rambam is probably based on another Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma defined Gimel and Beis, where the broader machlokas about there's a broader machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah is applied. That machlok is applied to Yom Kippur. The Chatzi Shir is Asim in HaTorah or not? So the Rambam when the Rambam says. That you're allowed to drink undiluted vinegar even in very large quantities. So the Rambam would assume that a chatzi shir is asur. How would we say that? Rambam would assume that everyone would agree that a chatzi shir is asur in a Torah on Yom Kippur, right? Because it's din in achila. If it's a din in achila. So then chatzi shir is not an achila. Achila is defined as a full shir. So if it's a din in achila, right, then maybe chatzi shir should not be a problem. But if it's a din in inui, then maybe by having a chatzi shir, you're taking away your status of inui. Right? That may be how the Rambam understands. But again, all that is still in the realm of the theoretical a little bit. Lamaisa, a person needs to eat. What do you do? What's the shir if a person needs to eat, if a person has to eat? Now, first of all, who has to eat? What's called someone that has to eat? How do we determine who is someone that has to eat? So, if a person is sick, so you have to determine if he's a chol shiyesh b'sakana or not, if he's someone who's dangerously ill or not. If someone's not dangerously ill, they're just going to have headaches for a few days if they don't eat, let's say. They're not going to have to be hospitalized. They'll just need to take Advil for a few days. They're not going to feel well. So that's not a dangerously ill person, and that person is not allowed to eat at all. Not a chatzi shir, nothing. He's not allowed to eat anything. If a person, though, has some sort of illness that's potentially dangerous, and the illness is going to flare up, let's say, if they don't eat, and they may need to be hospitalized, let's say, for not eating, you don't have to wait to get to the point where they're bringing you to the hospital and trying to save your life to then say you're a chol shiyesh b'sakana. If you know that you have that illness, and by not eating, you could very easily get to that point where you're gonna be in a situation where you need to be hospitalized in order to save you, well, then you're a chol shiyesh b'sakana to begin with, and then you're allowed to eat. We'll discuss what that means, you're allowed to eat, what to do. But very often, in order to determine that, you have to speak to a doctor to know what your status is. So there's a big discussion Rav Avadya Yosef has in the Yalkut Yosef on the Moadim, page Sadi Dalit, whether you need to speak to frum doctors bidafka, or even a non-frum doctor can be believed about this. Sometimes the secular doctor, the non-frum doctor, is too strict because he's unaware of the mitzvah of v'chai b'hem, that we have a mitzvah to live, and he just knows it. Yom Kippur, you take it very seriously. As Rosh Hashanah and Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasa, Perek Lamites, Ha'aretas Vav, he points this out. That sometimes the non-frum doctor is better to ask than the frum doctor, but for the most part, I think we generally assume that, and this has certainly been my experience, that the non-frum doctor says, what are you, crazy? You're going to fast? Why would you do that? You know, like, it's just ridiculous. Why would you possibly do that? Like with pregnant women, for instance. I speak to frum doctors, and they say, I spoke to several frum doctors, some who are specialists in high risk or whatever, you know, really high level doctors trained in the best institutions, and the frum ones say there's no reason a pregnant woman shouldn't be able to fast. A regular pregnancy, there's no reason a pregnant woman shouldn't be able to fast. It doesn't make any sense. She's not going to feel great, but there's no reason she shouldn't be able to fast. There's no danger to the baby or to her. But you speak to any non-frum doctor, they immediately say, are you nuts? Why would you do that? Then you're going to call me after the fast that I'm having cramps, I'm having this, I don't need your phone calls after the fast. Who told you to fast? Why would you do something like that? But that comes from a lack of sensitivity to what it means to eat on Yom Kippur, to what a fast means to us. So and sometimes, unfortunately, my experience is that frum doctors aren't looking at it from a halachic / medical perspective. They're just looking at the way, unfortunately, doctors are trained to look at things is what's going to keep me the furthest away from a lawsuit possible. Whatever keeps me the furthest away from a lawsuit is what I need to tell my patients, which would mean you tell the patients, just do something that's not going to make you complain. Because if there's something that's going to make you complain, then if anything goes wrong, you're going to blame me. Meaning you can have a miscarriage and two weeks later you're going to say, oh, it's because I fasted 2 weeks ago and you told me I could fast. So why would I tell you to do that? Just eat. Even frum doctors start thinking that way, and that's a real problem. So you have to know who you can trust. You have to speak to someone who's Yirei Shamayim, who understands what it means. In Sefer Torah Hayoledes, in Perek Nun Ha'ara Aleph, he quotes from Rav Eliyashiv. He says if you can't speak to a frum doctor who's knowledgeable enough, then the non-frum doctor at least can create enough to make it a suffix sakana. So it still would be worthwhile. And obviously to have that conversation and could have an impact on the halacha. But that's what we need to determine, what a chola is and whether it's in fact a situation of chola sheyesh bo sakana. What about a pregnant woman, a woman who just gave birth, a nursing woman? So Shulchan Aruch could not be more clear. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Reish Yud Zayin, Se'ifim Aleph and Beis, I'll try to pull up the lashon over here. Shulchan Aruch says, Shulchan Aruch, that I can't find right now. Here it is. Shulchan Aruch says, "Ubra shehiricha, Let's say a pregnant woman smells something and she gets what we call a craving. Sometimes pregnant women just like, they find themselves eating something that they didn't normally eat, but they just get like cravings for this. It's not even a food that they liked. If she's lucky, it's something like pickles, where you can't really gain any weight from it anyway, and like she'll be happier in the long run. If she's unlucky, I remember with one of my wife's pregnancies, it was Häagen-Dazs Dolce de Leche ice cream, pints and pints at a time. It's delicious. But I cannot put this online. I'm going to be in so much trouble. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Ubra she'iricha. A pregnant woman gets a craving. Upaneha mishtanim, the Rama adds, and her face changes. She gets that look like, I need it now. Even if she doesn't say, Tzricha ani, she doesn't say, I need it now. First thing we do is, Loch shen la ba'azna she'yom ha'kippurim hu. We say, it's Yom Kippur. You sure you want to have that pint of Dolce de Leche? It's Yom Kippur. If she says, oh my God, you're right, it's Yom Kippur, what was I thinking? Then good, leave it alone. V'imlav, but if she grabs you and says, I need my Dolce de Leche now, then ma'achilinosa ad shetisyashev daita. Then you give her to eat until she calms down. What's a mu'uberes? Is mu'uberes, how pregnant does pregnant have to be? So, you can't be half pregnant. What does it mean? Half pregnant does pregnant have to be? There's a discussion in Poskim, Shartzi, and in Tafresh Yitzayin, Sif Aleph says that it sounds like that it's lo shayich zaki machar mem yom, that she has to at least be 40 days pregnant. If she's not 40 days pregnant, it doesn't count as pregnant yet. Sometimes they'll get a call. I got a call right before Tisha B'Av. Someone said, we just discovered 5 minutes ago that my wife is pregnant. Does she fast on Tisha B'Av? The answer is yes. She's not really pregnant then. Meaning she doesn't have a halacha of a muberes. Rav Vassin writes in Shevet Alevi that I was wrong. He says, no, we don't pass any charitzi. It doesn't have to be 40 days. It could even be if she's 5 minutes pregnant. It doesn't make a difference. Pregnant woman's a pregnant woman, and they would have a din of muberes. And again, what's the din? Din is, you whisper to her and tell her, calm her down, but if she says, I need. Okay. What if she has a history of miscarriages, has a history of health issues, and she's pregnant? So the Sefer Archos Chaim says that if there were two previous miscarriages, she can eat. One previous miscarriage means nothing. And most women you know probably had a miscarriage at some point or another. Most married women you know at some point or another. It's a very, very common thing. So that, we don't say, is a sign of a bad health problems. If she had two or more, then already there's a history there and we're a little more nervous. Rav Shlomo Zalman in a Ha'ara, in a footnote in Sefer Otsar Bris, Chelek Aleph, page Tet Zayin, says that if the doctor's worried about a miscarriage, even if there's no previous track record, she's what we call high risk, then she should eat shiurim, which we'll get to in a minute, what that means to eat shiurim. What about a nursing woman? So a nursing woman, Shulchan Aruch is clear, she fasts. But the Bir Alacha writes in Tafresh Yitzayin, says if it's dangerous for the baby because the baby is exclusively nursing and you're afraid she's not going to be able to produce enough milk, then you have to really analyze what she's going to need to do in order to be able to produce enough milk. Chaznish writes that most babies are considered b'sakana even for very small stomach and digestive issues, meaning if a baby's going to get sick, then that's called the cholashish b'sakana. You don't say, okay, what's the big deal? The baby will get a little bit sick. It's not a sakana. No, if it's a baby and the baby's going to get sick, that's called the cholashish b'sakana. Not everyone agrees with that. That's Chazanish in Or Chaim Siman and Tes Sivkot and Gimel Sivkot and Dalit. What about a Yoledes, a woman who just gave birth? So this is also explicit in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Yud Zayin, Si'if Dalit, writes that the first 3 days she has to eat. She doesn't get a choice. We don't give her an option. You have to eat the first 3 days after the birth. First week, she can eat if she wants to. She only has to want to, and then she can eat. After that, she's like any other chola, where we have to judge based on what she is. Now, the trick is, first of all, most poskim are lenient on a C-section, depending on the doctor's orders. She just went through surgery, so it'll be makel beyond the normal amounts of time. And Bir Alacha points out that it's not just if she had a baby, even if she had a miscarriage. If it was a miscarriage and it was past the first 40 days of pregnancy, so the first, you'd still have the first 3 days she's not allowed to fast. And then the first week, she is... The problem is, Mishabur points out, remember, with one of my children was born 2 days before Yom Kippur. So my wife was like, awesome. I have to eat, right? And I was like, yeah, so it says, you have to eat. but the 72 hours were up, like on the night of Yom Kippur, like the middle of the night in Yom Kippur. 72 hours were up, like at 3 in the morning of Yom Kippur. So the question is, does her status change in mid-Yom Kippur from being someone who has to eat to being someone who's only permitted to eat if they want to? I think the Shabrura paskens over there, l'chumra, that you assume that her status changes in the middle of Yom Kippur. So if, let's say, the week is up in the middle of Yom Kippur. So if the first half of the fast, she feels like she wants to eat, or she needs to eat, she can eat. But after that, she would then have a din of the first 30 days where she can't eat unless it's a real problem. So I remember my wife was very disappointed because a woman doesn't want to have to make this choice. She wants to be told what to, you can do it or you can't, you have to do it or you can't do it. Because that's the way it is for everyone else. When a chola is a chola, he doesn't have the choice, I can eat or I cannot eat. If you're chol shiyesh bo sakana, it's not like, oh, I could choose not to eat. No, you can't, that's asur. You can't be a martyr, you're not allowed to give your life for Yom Kippur. You have to eat, it's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. That's what they say, Reb Chaim, right? They say Reb Chaim used to say that he used to always tell people to eat when he judged that they were a chol, or when there was plagues or whatever, and people would say, you're such a mekel on Yom Kippur. You'd say, I'm not a mekel on Yom Kippur, I'm a machmir pikuach nefesh. If a chol is a chol, they have to eat. If they're a chol, she's pesachana. So the worst thing to tell a woman is that 3 to 7 day period. They hate that. You could eat if you want to. I don't want to eat on Yom Kippur, but I want to eat. it's a very, very difficult thing. I think my wife ended up fasting because the first half of the day she didn't feel like she needed anything. She didn't feel like she had to. It was like she wasn't even hungry or thirsty because it was nighttime. Like, she just eaten dinner. And then in the middle of the night, she turned into the 7 days, and then she felt like, I don't know, do I really need it? I could probably make it. That's an unusual circumstance. But let's say we're dealing with someone who has to eat because we determined that they're a chol shiyesh bo sakana, or any of these situations of a woman or whatever. What is the shir? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tav Resh Yud Beis, Seif Aleph. Let me find it here. Shulchan Aruch writes, Ha'ochel biyom ha-kippurim, kikoseves ha-gasa chayev. If a person eats the size of a date, then they're a chayev. V'upachos mikabetza ma'at, that's smaller than a shir kabetza, meaning it's bigger than a kazayas. The shir of Yom Kippur is a fairly large shir. V'shir zesh shav l'kol adam bein l'nanas bein l'og melech habashan. That's the Shulchan Aruch's lashon. And this shir is the same whether one is a midget or whether they are og melech habashan. He was a giant. Doesn't make a difference. That's the shir. So why do we... So that's what Shulchan Aruch says. Kosevus hagasa. Now, the Bir Alach discusses whether actually eating a kosevus qualifies as eating a shir. What if you actually eat a date? The date has a pit in it. So he discusses whether the shear of the date with the pit, which means if you actually eat a date, you're still under the shear, or do we say that it's the shear of the date without the pit, and therefore if you eat a date, you violate the shear? It's a discussion of Bir Alach. Most people, if they're going to eat, they're not going to choose to eat a date. They'll eat something else. So why is it important to know the shear? Chatzi shear is also in the Torah. Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafrei Shid Beis Sifei, Had bin in shear, haynu l'chi of kareis ochatas. Then when we say there's a shear, that means that if you eat that shear, you chayv karis or you chayv chatas. Avli sura iko bakolshu. But in iser, even if you eat a very tiny amount, it's asr to eat on Yom Kippur. So what difference does it make with the shear? So the reason it's important to know the shear, Mishnah Berurah writes in Tafrei Shid Beis, Sifkat and Gimel, is for a chola. That whenever it comes to violating an iser for the sake of a chola, we do hakala kal tchila. Machilin also hakala kal tchila. We do the least iser first, the smallest iser first, before we violate big isurim. So if we can get away by saving life with doing a small iser, we'd rather do the small iser. A lot of times people don't realize this. On Shabbos, for example, something happens, an accident happens, and they're not sure what to do about it. So the first thing they do is they jump in a car and they go to the emergency room to find out. That shouldn't be the first thing to do. The first thing to do is call a doctor. Using a telephone is a lot less of an iser than jumping in a car. So call the doctor, and the doctor says, you need to get to the hospital now, then you jump in the car. If the doctor says, it's nothing, don't worry about it. You can wait, stay, till after Shabbos. So then you wait, then it's fine. And then it turns out you only did an Issa Drabana. You're going to have to call somebody anyway, probably. So instead of calling people, call the whatever, instead of calling Hatzalah or whatever, call a doctor. It's better than calling Hatzalah. Obviously, if time is of the essence and the person's not breathing, you call Hatzalah right away. We're talking about something that you're not sure if it needs attention. So, okay. Anyway, so if a person is sick, you want to give him a chatzi shir first. So you have to make sure that within a shir kedei achilas pras, within a reasonable amount of time, the person eats less than the shir of achila and drinks less than the shir of shtia. Now, how much is that? What is the shir of achila and the shir of shtia? So the Mishabru writes in Tafresh Yudbei Sivkat and Gimel that Kimul Lacham de Bashir Zemis Miasva Daite de Kalad Ma'ato Harbe, Batsimizelo Miasva Daite de Shominish. Vine, Mashor Lana Machabra Shir the Inun Chiyuv, after Yisuro who Afilu Bakalshu, Kilkam and Sefei, Mishim Nafkamina Mizalinian and Discover Sim Tafresh Chesel, the Skol of the Machinos of Paksmik Shir. I'm sorry, that's just where the Mishnah Berurah says that you need to know the shear, because if for a chala it's important to know the shear. Shulchan Aruch writes, Achal, v'chazar v'achal, and Sif Gimel, and Tafresh Yud Beis. If a person eats, and then they eat again, im yesh mitchilas achila rishona, atzof achila achrona, kedei achilas pras mitstarfin. If the amount of time between when you took your first bite and when you took your last bite is less than a kedei achilas pras, it's all mitstarfin, it counts as one achila. Vimla avein mitzarf, and otherwise it's not mitzarf, doesn't count as one achila. What is a kedei achilas pras? It's a big discussion in the poskim, big debate in the poskim. Some are machmir that it says little as 2 minutes. Others are makel that it's as much as 9 minutes. The other way around. Some are makel that it's as little as 2 minutes. Some are machmir that it's as much as 9 minutes. Meaning, let's say you eat a koseves agasa within 8 minutes of time. If you hold that a shir kedei achilas pras is 2 minutes, you're fine, because it wasn't within 2 minutes. You ate half of it now, half of it 3 minutes later, half of it, you know, so a little bit more 3 minutes later, that's fine. But if you hold the shir kedei achilas pras is 8 minutes or 9 minutes, so then you violated something. Generally speaking, l'chadchila, we recommend that people wait something that's easy to track and easy to keep cheshbon of and satisfies all opinions, because generally that's enough. So we'll generally tell people, have a little cracker every 10 minutes. That way they have a cracker every 10 minutes. They could keep 10 minutes on the zeros. You know, they'll look at the digital clock, and when it's on the zeros, they'll know it's time to eat again. And that way it's very safe. There are no shitos that's within the kedei achilas pras, and it will be enough food. Because if you do that, then it means you had 6 crackers an hour for however many hours you needed to do it. So you're eating enough to keep your body nourished. And drinking also. You would drink small amounts within that same amount of time. So what they'll tell you to do is, on the fives, have a little shot glass of a liquid, and on the tens, have a little cracker. And that way, you're never violating drinking more than the shir b'kedei achilas pras, nor eating more than the shir b'kedei achilas pras, and you're plenty nourished, and you're plenty hydrated as well. Now, if a person needs to eat or drink more than that, so you wouldn't be so machmir to say 10 minutes, you would say 5 minutes or something like that. Because the standard sheet, I think, is that kedei achilas pras is about 4 minutes. So then have them do every 5 minutes, and that would still be a lot better. So, ideally, if possible, we give pachas mikashir. Now, what if a person, your halacha discusses, if a person has to eat more than shir, a person's dehydrated. Let's say a pregnant woman is dehydrated. So if a pregnant woman is dehydrated, every doctor will say, you cannot start doing shiurim when you're dehydrated, because it's not going to hydrate you quickly enough. You need liquids. You need to load up on liquids. So she loads up on liquids. She drinks a whole bottle of Powerade. Now going forward, does she still drink a whole bottle of Powerade at a time? So going forward, after that, once she's hydrated, once you're back to yourself, once you're normal again, then you go back to shiurim again, if you need to. You don't go back to drink. That's what the Bir Alacha points out. All right, that's the long and short. Did I miss anything? Is there any halachas that? Right? Okay, that's a little bit about eating and drinking and Yom Kippur.